Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. When trying to decide on the message for today, I found myself... I told Heidi, I said, for me, the hardest part of sermon preparation is deciding what to preach on. There's 66 books in the Bible, thousands of verses. What do I pick? And so I was thinking about it, and I found myself gravitating towards this. This is, as I said on Wednesday, I found my mind reflecting more and more on biblical authority. You know, how our response as Christians should be to authority structures. And with approaching the national elections here in the U.S., and you have all of this and the news about police abusing their authority and people's response to that, I decided I wanted to address this passage because it is talking about the Christian, the biblical response to a human authority, to human authority structures. I want to lay some groundwork here historically. This is, when Paul wrote this, this was in the 60s AD, so the first century AD under the Roman Empire. This was a dictatorship, a pagan dictatorship, lots of corruption. The Romans weren't great leaders. They were brutal. Their idea of dealing with riots and such was to crucify everybody. Have you ever heard of a triumphal entry? Romans, when their generals would be victorious, they would have a triumphal entry. And part of one of the things they would do is they would take some of the people they had captured and they would tie them to the chariot wheels of the general. Like not around the rim, but like a hubcap. So they're spread eagled and they would drive the chariot into the city. And so they were brutal and cruel. When they put down the famous uprising of the slaves of led by Spartacus, they crucified hundreds and lined the roads with them. They were brutal. You know, this is the time when the Apostle Paul, when he wrote that, you know, wrote this, this is the time of men like Caligula and Nero, who were insane and evil. Caligula murdered his own mother. I'm not Caligula. Nero murdered his own mother. And Caligula was such an evil man that it says that it's recorded that he was at a feast and he began laughing. And one of the attendees of the feast said, "Caesar, please share with us the humor." And he said, "Oh, I just found myself thinking that with but a gesture, I could have all your throats slit." And he found that humorous. Brutal time. So imagine that. Worse government than anything we've ever seen as far as human rights violations and such. Slavery. Horrible morality, corruption, brutality. That was what it was to live when the Apostle Paul penned this passage under inspiration of God. And God was telling the Apostle Paul and he was telling the Romans how they were to respond to that government. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This word translated subject is to place under, is its literal meaning. And in Greek you have a form called the middle form, and it's represented in English with a reflexive form. So what he's saying here is, he's saying let every soul place itself under the higher powers. The word translated power, there's two words in the New Testament translated power frequently. One is dunamis, and this refers to ability. The ability to do something. We actually get our word dynamite from it. And dynamic. The ability to do something. Dynasty also comes from this. The ability to do. The other word, and that's not our word here, so we're not talking about power as in ability to do something. The other word translated power is exousia, and this is authority. So when Christ says, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth, he says exousia, all authority. God tells the Roman Christians that they are to place themselves under the authorities. And he says that there is no authority on earth that isn't ordained of God, placed by God. God has plainly said throughout Scripture that he raises up kings and casts them down. Nebuchadnezzar testified of God and said that the highest gives the kingdoms of men unto the lowliest, and he gives them to whomever he will. The Bible in this passage says that those who do not place themselves under the authority are rebelling against God, because the authority is placed by God. Heidi, I'm pretty sure she's said before, she doesn't mind my talking about this. Heidi grew up in a Christian atmosphere. She was involved in Awana her whole life, graduated out of Awana. She always went to church. She lived relatively a clean life. And one day I was preaching years and years ago, and I was talking about, I said, the only thing we have earned from God is his wrath. And she said to me afterwards, she says, I know that what you say is true because the Bible says that. But I have a hard time seeing that as being true of myself, because I've never drank alcohol. I don't smoke. I am not immoral. I've never stolen anything. And she wasn't trying to praise herself. She was truly, you know, puzzled. She didn't know how to think about this. And understanding that and having compassion on her, she had shared stories at that point. She had already shared many stories from her growing up years. And one story was that her mother had told her to say she was sorry for doing something in relation to one of her siblings. And she refused. And her mother spanked her and told her to say she was sorry. And she refused. And she shared that story with me to point out that she was stubborn. She was a stubborn person. And when she brought this up about that she didn't see her own moral depravity, I said, I see where the problem is. You're comparing yourself with other people. And sure, you look a lot better than some of the people out there. I said, but let me help you see this in the proper light. I said, Heidi, do you remember that story you told me that you refused to obey your mother and say you were sorry? She said, yes. I said, Heidi, I want you to think of this. The Bible says that God placed your mother and father in authority over you, that they represented in your life God Himself. Every time you disobeyed your mother, you were telling God by your actions, if I could, I would pull you down from your throne and sit on it myself. And this helped her to understand her own sinfulness. That is not a bad thing, people. I've had people tell me I'm too negative in my preaching. You having your sin pointed out to you is not a bad thing. If you had cancer, you wouldn't complain if I pointed it out to you. The only way that you can get better is to have the problem pointed out. Christ drew an analogy between blindness and spirituality, you know, the lack of spirituality in one's life. And the Pharisees asked, are we blind? And he said, you say you can see, and so your sin remains. It is only when we acknowledge that need, our sinfulness before God, that we have the chance to be healed. What Christ was telling the Pharisees is that they were blind spiritually, and that he could heal them of their blindness, but they had to first acknowledge that blindness. Pointing out your sin is not an unkindness. It is giving you the opportunity to be set free from your sin and to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord and to experience the blessing of being the person that God always intended you to be. So I want you today to, with honesty and humility, consider in your heart, where are you in relation to what the Word of God says here in response to authority structures in your life? I was telling William about responding to authority. I said, you are always going to be under authority. And his reaction told me he was thinking, you're not. And I said, William, there are a lot of people in authority over my life. Pastor Weigel, he's an authority over my life. Marianne Apostolikas is my boss, my immediate boss at work. She's an authority over my life. The town council in Speedway, they're authorities in my life. The county council of Marion County, they're an authority of my life. The governor of Indiana, he's an authority in my life. The president of the United States, he's an authority in my life. The policemen, they're authorities in my life. There are a lot of authorities in my life. And there will always be authorities in my life. And I am under the authority of God. We need to have a biblical response to authority. And the biblical response to authority is obedience. Obedience is not simply a grudging, do the bare minimum that is required. Notice that the apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He tells them not just to obey the commands, but he says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. These last two are your attitudes towards the authority figures. Every time a police officer talks to me in his capacity as a representative of the law, it's always yes, sir, no, sir. And I don't argue with them. There have been times I've thought that police officers were wrong in their decisions, but I treat them as a representative of God. Doesn't mean that they're always doing the right thing. But that doesn't relieve us of our duty before God to obey. So what is obedience? Because obedience is also your attitude. I define obedience for my children as a three-part thing. Obedience is the proper response to proper authority. And I always say proper authority because there are times people try to usurp authority. And I tell my children, I say, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to do what that person says. They're not an authority in your life or in that area of your life. You don't need to do that. And then when someone tells you to do something wrong, I said, even if somebody is an authority figure in your life, if they try to get you to disobey God, they don't have the authority to do that. Nobody has the authority to tell you to disobey God. But proper obedience is doing what you're told right away with a good attitude. So for my children, when I tell them to do something, if any of those are missing, I apply corrective action. I do not allow a sulky, slow, bare, you know, grudging obedience. I say, pick up your toys. That's not obedience, and I correct it. Obedience is, you do it. You do it right away. And you do it with a good attitude. A yes, Daddy, doesn't count. Say, you give me a good attitude. You smile. You be a pleasant little boy, or you be a pleasant little girl. We need this in the United States of America right now. We have leaders left and right who are abandoning the truth of God's word. It does not relieve us of our responsibility to obey their authority. Now, if they command us to disobey God, then we need to say, like the Apostle Peter, we will obey God rather than men. We don't have to like them. We don't have to think that they're good people, but we must obey. There are times that I think the speed limits in some areas are foolish. Like, I was with Pastor Weigel. There's a school zone way down 16th Street. And we were going down 16th, or maybe it's Cunningham at that point. And Pastor Weigel, he's going... He slowed down for the school zone, but he's going, what school is this school zone for? And I was like, if you look down that road, way down at the end, there's the elementary school. And he goes, that's ridiculous. I agree with him. I don't see the point in that. Although now they have the lights on them, so when the lights are blinking, then it's a school zone. That I'm okay with. I think that, but I still obey. Even when I thought that it was silly, I obeyed. Let me ask you a question. Do you obey the law when no one's watching? Do you obey proper authority? Not just, you know, police officers and such, but those who have authority in your life. Your boss, your father, your mother, if you're one living under their authority still. I told William one day, I said, the test of a person, the true test of character, the true test of obedience is, do you obey when no one is watching? I told William, I said, one time I was driving at night because I had a third shift job, and I was on a county road. Only cornfields, but it was wintertime, so they'd been harvested. So I could see very far, and there was nobody around. And I came to the intersection, and it was a red light. If I ran that red light, there would have been no risk of hitting anyone, because there was nobody in sight. And there would have been no risk in being caught, because there was nobody in sight. You know what I did? I stopped. Why? Because the light was red. And God tells me to obey the authorities that He has placed in my life. So it didn't matter that nobody was watching. It didn't matter if I agreed or disagreed. They weren't asking me to disobey God. So I obeyed. You know, you may pick and choose in your life rules that you think make sense and rules that you don't think make sense. And so you obey some and you disobey some. But you know what you're doing if you're a person in authority over someone else? You're telling them to do that with you. Not only is it displeasing to God, but you're undermining your own life by rejecting the authorities in your life. Why should my son obey me if I don't obey the authorities over me? I'm just teaching him he gets to choose when to obey and when not to obey. So on a practical level, it's helpful to me and with the things I need to do. But also, God uses the authorities. The Bible says that He uses the authorities to, He says, to punish the evildoer, to keep evil down. He tells us, though, that we should not only do it for fear of being punished, but for conscience sake. Because it's right, like I said, when there's no consequence. One day when I was at Bible college, I was downstairs in the basement. They had a soda machine. This is back when I still drank a lot of soda. And I put some money in the machine, and it kicked out two bottles of soda. And I went upstairs to the main office, and I took one of the bottles, and I set it on the desk, and I said, "The machine kicked out two. Please give this to the vendor." And this person who was listening said, "Why didn't you keep it?" I said, "I only paid for one." That one isn't mine. One day we were at Meijer and I found a $5 bill laying on the ground. And I found the store director and I said, "I found this." And he basically told me, he said I could keep it. And I said, "It's not mine." And he goes, "Well, it's not mine either." And I said, "Well, is there some way to, you know, that we can set this aside so that if somebody comes and says that they lost some money in the store, that perhaps it can be returned to them, hopefully?" And he said, "Yeah." And he took it. He said, "I'll give this to the customer service desk." And I thanked him. Why did I do that? Because it wasn't mine. I obey the authorities in my life, whether there's any risk of getting caught or not, because it is right. Christ paid such a terrible price for our sins. He suffered so much. And here, through the Apostle Paul, he's asking you to obey the authorities that are in your life. Are you telling me that him asking you to obey, he's asking you too much? Would you really stand there facing Christ and say, you ask too much? But you know, God says he's the one in control and that he uses the government to accomplish his purposes in the world. Even evil men like Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and such, and the Pharaoh, God says he put those men in place to accomplish his purposes, despite themselves. Sometimes throughout history, the government has commanded people to disobey God. Pastor Amiru has testified that under Ethiopia's government, he had been put in jail for sharing the gospel. There are people who have died for that throughout the ages. In England, if you ever get a chance, be prepared to weep if you're given to weeping. Be prepared for heartache. Read the Book of Martyrs. Talks about all the Christians that, not all the Christians, but many, many Christians who have died from Christ's apostles up until the author's own day. Christians who were burned alive for reading the gospel in English. I forget which of the apostles, but one of the apostles was executed in Egypt. And this is pretty gruesome. But what they did is they took him alive, and they tied him, they made him sit down against a stake in the ground, and they tied his hands behind him on the stake. Then they slit open his belly, but they did it so as not to pierce any major blood vessels. And then they stuffed his belly full of wheat. And then they let loose hogs that hadn't had anything to eat for a long time. And the hogs attacked him and ended up killing him. You may not know this, but pigs are omnivores. They'll eat meat. And a pig sufficiently hungry will eat flesh. And that's how he died. I've read many accounts throughout history of Christians being executed for their faith around the world. Christians here in America suffered in the colonial era for standing for the gospel, persecuted by some of the other branches of Christianity. Baptists suffered in the areas where the Puritans were in control. That's why Rhode Island was established, so that there would be somewhere where people could practice their faith with freedom. Sometimes the government tells people to do the wrong thing. And maybe during your lifetime, the United States government will tell you to stop preaching the gospel to stop witnessing to others about Christ. At that point, you must stand with God and say, you don't have that authority. But we're not talking about that yet. We're not there yet. Where we're at is the attitudes of our culture are getting in this nation are getting hostile to the things of God, but we have not yet been asked to stop preaching the gospel. We have not yet been asked to do immoral things for most of us. So until that happens, we have a duty unto God to obey the authorities over us. These are ordained by God. If you have a bad attitude toward the authority structures, then you're going against the plan of God. You know what happens? I'm 41. I've had different jobs. You know what happens when you don't have a clear authority structure? Chaos. It is always a bad thing to be without an authority structure. A situation where everyone does what they want usually means that the strong get what they want and the weak suffer. We need to examine our hearts. The Bible doesn't tell us to like the authorities in our life. It tells us to obey. So, you may disagree with the president, but if you're a Christian, you ought not to speak about him mockingly and insultingly. It is okay in a respectful way to say, I disagree, but you show the man honor because God in his word says to. I didn't vote for Barack Obama in either election, and if he could run for a third, I would not vote for him again because he stands, you know, for things that I consider are wrong. But I will always speak of him respectfully. If I were to meet the man, I would say, yes, Mr. President. No, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. I would treat him with respect. Why? Because God Almighty, my King, says to treat him that way. And if you are his child, he says that while you are a sojourner in this land, you are to show proper obedience to the authority structures that God has ordained. Tonight, we're going to talk about the government side about that. I'll tell you, no government has the right to legislate itself out from underneath the authority of God. We're going to talk about that some more tonight. But your side of it, unless there, I don't think, is there anybody in the government in here? Your side of it is obedience. It is the right thing to do. And if you choose in the face of God's word to disobey the authorities that God has put in your life, do not expect God to save you from the punishment that is surely to come. God says that the government is his servant, his revenger. I want you to listen to something that I have to say right now. He says that he bears not the sword in vain. This is a serious statement. An axe was an implement of war, but it was also a tool that could be turned to the cutting of wood. A knife could be used as an implement of war, But it could also be used for the preparing of food or the shaping of various goods. A spear was an implement of war, but it could also be turned to hunting. The same with the arrow. But the sword served one purpose and one purpose alone. It was no good as a tool. It was no good as a hunting implement. It was made for one thing, the killing of other men. When God says that the authorities bear not the sword in vain, he's giving to them the power to take life. And understand that if you set yourself in rebellion against the authorities, God says here, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This is judgment. Do not expect God to save you from the government if you are rejecting their authority without biblical authority. I tell you that if they tell you not to preach the gospel, you preach the gospel even though, because they don't have the authority to tell you not to. But if they tell you to drive 30 miles an hour, you drive 30 miles an hour. Because it is right, because it is good, for conscience sake, you should obey. But you should also be cautioned by fear, because God gives them authority to punish you up to and including death. So, Christian, we live in a country that is changing, that is becoming more and more hostile to the things of God. But they are still the authority structure in place. And you have a duty before God to respond appropriately. Do so because it is right and it is good. And the one who died for you, the one who loves you above all others, bid you do so. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you be with this time of invitation. I pray, God, that you might work in the hearts of each one of us. Father, if any of us have been rejecting the authorities that you've put in place, Lord God, please work in our hearts that we might be moved to repentance and that we might do that which is right. Lord, you're the one in control. You place the authorities. You remove them. God, I pray that you might work in the authorities that are over us, that if any obey not you, that you might work in them, that they might repent of their sin and that they might come to obedience. And if they will not, I pray that you remove them and put men in place who will obey. Lord, grant us the grace to live before others according to your word. Bless now, O Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.